get it here in a second. Good evening and welcome to Crossroads. Good to see everybody here, everybody that visited, and heard we had a great revival this morning. It's a wonderful thing. It's a blessing to be a part of it, too, and I always appreciate people asking me to sing, and I don't think I do that great, but everybody sure brags on me. When I was a kid in the hay barn, my uncles would brag on me, made me work harder. And, you know, they about worked me to death before I figured out what they were doing, too. We went to Martin Baptist Church over there and saw the play Redeemed in the auditorium there, and they did a wonderful job. I mean, it was a production, realistic and just heart-touching. And just about all the way through the play, they had showed the life and teachings of Christ and the crucifixion and the resurrection. And toward the end of it, there was a part in the play. And the auditorium was dark, and you could see the tomb and the door. And there was a 10 or 12-year-old girl that sang this song. In the background, and it just echoed through the auditorium. It was amazing, the effect it had. And I just, I said, well, I'm going to try to learn that and play it. I'm going to try to do it for you tonight and do it justice. And by the way, it was written by Hank Williams Sr. So. There's a story of old that has often been told of the way our dear Savior died. As they nailed his hands, he cried, "They don't understand." And the blood ran from his side. How can you refuse him now? How can you refuse him now? How can you turn away from his side? With tears in his eyes, on the cross, there he died. How can you refuse Jesus now? As he died there on that tree, he prayed for you, he prayed for me. There was no one his pain to ease. And as he died, he faintly cried, "Father, forgive them, please." How can you refuse him now? How can you refuse him now? How can you turn away from his side? With tears in his eyes, on the cross, there he died. How can you refuse Jesus now? How can you refuse him now? How can you refuse him now? How can you turn away from his side? With tears in his eyes, on the cross, there he died. How can you refuse Jesus now? Can you refuse Jesus?
Thank you, Brother Kenny. I hope tonight, if the Lord is speaking to somebody, that they won't refuse Him tonight. It is good to see everyone that's gathered with us. As Brother Massey said, we welcome you to Crossroads, and I'm thankful for each and every person that's here and the church that you represent. It means so much for us for you to be here. We're thankful to have Brother Massey as our helper, and he's brought a couple of wonderful messages already. But when you get to be his age, you got to rest him a little bit. And kidding, brother. Love you. You come back tomorrow night, he'll be rested by tomorrow night, I assure you. There's one other thing I need to tell you. There is no meal after the service tonight. Now, you might think there is. That roast beef is smelling awfully good. But that's for lunch tomorrow, not tomorrow, Wednesday. And you get a little taste of what it's going to be, but don't let that hinder you in the service tonight. I am thrilled tonight. My heart is full. As pastor here at Crossroads, we hunger to see these lost souls saved. And I was thinking this afternoon, Brother Massey's brought a couple of wonderful messages, and I thank him for that and the effect that those messages have had. But the truth is that our efforts began way before that, For some of those that were saved today, they began when they walked into Sister Liz's Sunday school room. She's got the littlest ones. And when they came into her classroom, she began to tell them about Jesus. And then as they progressed through the other classes, those teachers continued to tell them about Jesus and about the need to be saved. Our vacation Bible school this year just ended a month ago. And everything about our vacation Bible school told the children about Jesus and the need to be saved. Every Sunday I get up, I try to share about Jesus as well. So what I'm trying to say is, church, what a blessing. We're getting to reap a little bit of blessing. And this morning, how wonderful it was to see those that are saved. But I have to tell you, I'm hoping that the mercy and the grace of God will extend to our service tonight. I pray tonight that if the Lord is speaking to the heart of someone here tonight, as Brother Kenny said, I hope you won't reject the Lord. I hope you won't say no to the invitation of the Lord. I hope if you're not saved, before you do leave here, the other song we sang is, I know that I'm saved. I hope you can come to the place where you know that you were saved. And the song the special choir sang, do you know how it feels? If you've been saved, you know how it feels. If you haven't been saved, I want you to know how it feels. And when the Lord takes away that burden of sin, and He puts in that peace and joy, and you become a child of God, oh, wow, what a wonderful feeling. I can't describe it for you, but I know it was wonderful for me. I desire your prayers as I share a few moments from God's Word. If you'd like to follow along, I'm going to read from the Gospel of Luke, the 12th chapter. I'm going to begin reading in the 15th verse there, Luke chapter 12, beginning in verse 15. And it begins by saying that He said unto them. Well, the He that we're talking about is Jesus. Jesus said unto them, He said, take heed. And He said, beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things that he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns, and I'll build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and all my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. And God said unto him, listen to what God said unto him. God said unto him, thou fool, this night shall thy soul be required of thee. Then, who shall these things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasures for himself and is not rich toward God. I'm going to stop my reading there. My text verse is going to come from the 34th verse. Jesus said, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Where is your heart tonight? What is your treasure tonight? That's not the title of my message. The title of my message tonight, I'll tell you in just a few moments, but I want you to take notice. When Jesus spoke unto him, I want you to notice the very first few words that came out of the mouth of Jesus. Jesus said, "Take heed and beware." And that's important for us tonight because Jesus was drawing attention to what he needed to pay attention to. He wanted him to be cautious. He wanted him to consider what it was that was most important. He wanted him to consider what was of value. And you know, we need to think about that in life today. People are placing emphasis on so many things that the world has to offer, but people need to take heed and they need to beware of what it is that is of the most value and what is of the most important. And my thought for tonight, or the title of my message, is The Cost of Being Lost. The cost of being lost. And when we hear that word cost, most of us are concerned about what the cost of things are. We want to know how the cost of what something is going to affect our lives. And I want you to think about the word cost tonight. And I want you to think about it in the aspect of the cost is the price. The cost, it's the consequence of. The cost is the penalty of. The cost is the suffering. I want you to think of the cost of being lost. Someone may be thinking already tonight, this can't be good. And I'll have to agree with you. There is nothing good about being lost. There is nothing good about being unsaved. I pray tonight that with the help of the Lord, that I'll have liberty. I hope tonight I'll be able to share with you the truth of God's Word about the importance of having a salvation experience with Jesus, the importance of receiving the gift of God, which is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Brothers and sisters, the Great Commission was given to the Lord, to His disciples. The Great Commission was given to each one of us. And we find recorded in Mark's Gospel in the 16th chapter and the 15th verse that we are to go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to whom? The Bible says to every creature. The gospel is to go out to every single person. We're not supposed to be a respecter of persons. Jesus wasn't a respecter of persons. And He wants this gospel message to be shared to every creature. And brothers and sisters, the point is, you and I, we have a message of truth to tell. A message of truth to tell to those who are lost, to those that are unsaved. And I'll just tell you tonight, I believe there are those amongst us tonight who are lost and unsaved. My message tonight is a serious message. I want you to listen closely tonight to the cost of being lost and how important it is. I know sometimes we get caught up in terminology. And sometimes terminology can be confusing to us. And I want to be clear tonight so that you can understand me. When we hear the term lost sometimes, our minds automatically think about someone who doesn't know where they are, or someone who doesn't know how to get to where it is they want to go. They're unable to find their way. And all this week, I will probably use that term referring to people who are lost or people are unsaved. And when I do, I want you to understand that I'm not referring to the physical, but I'm referring to the spiritual condition of your soul. And when I talk about being lost, I'm talking about the relationship that you don't have with God. And we need to have a relationship with the Lord. That's the whole purpose for which Jesus came, that we might be able to have a relationship with Him. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 3, he said, "If the gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost." this gospel message, the message of the Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious gospel of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. You know, it's hid to those that are lost. Satan tonight wants to blind your eyes from the truth of the glorious gospel. My prayer tonight is that the Christians that are gathered together with us tonight, that you are praying while you're listening to the message tonight, that Satan will be bound, that he won't be able to blind your eyes from the truth, that God's Word through the Holy Spirit can go forth and prick your heart, and you can see where you stand in relationship with the Lord. And the truth is, it's one of two things. Either you're saved and you're a child of God, or you're lost, or you're unsaved. And I want you to hear tonight the cost of being lost. Jesus spoke in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 13. He spoke about the two ways. There was a safe way and there was an unsafe way. And in that 13th verse, he said, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth," where? The Bible said, "that leadeth to destruction." That means separation eternally from God. And the Scripture says, "many there be that go therein." Brothers and sisters, out of love for the lost, out of love for their spiritual need, we have to have a boldness about the truth. I'm not just talking about part of the truth. I'm talking about we need to have a boldness for the whole truth. All of God's Word, it needs to be shared and it needs to be told. We need to tell them about the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, and how it should shine unto them. As I said, I believe there's lost among us tonight. You need to listen tonight. You need to know that there is a cost. You need to know that there is a loss. You need to know that there is a penalty. You need to know that there is suffering that's associated with being lost, being unsaved. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 25 and verse 46, speaking about this cost. And I want to tell you something tonight. This cost of being lost, it's a cost that you cannot live with eternally. Jesus said in this 25th chapter in the 46th verse, he said, "and these shall go away into everlasting punishment." Who's these? These are the lost. The unsaved, if they don't surrender, turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, and by grace through faith be saved, the truth of God's Word is that they are going to go away into everlasting punishment. But, listen, the rest of that verse says a different story. The rest of that verse says, "but the righteous." Who are the righteous? The righteous are those who have been saved. The righteous into life eternal. You see what God's got planned for those that surrender and turn to Him? The cost of being lost, to me, it seems like it's a neglected subject. It really does. We can turn on the TV and we can turn on the radio and we can go out on the internet and we can bring up sermons, and it seems today we hear a lot of sermons about God's love, and we hear a lot of sermons about the blessings of God, and we hear a lot of sermons about the prospect or the joys of heaven, how they'll await those who are saved and what's waiting them there. And listen tonight, those are wonderful messages. Those are messages that need to be preached. Those are messages that need to be heard. But listen, that's only part of the truth. That's not the whole truth. And we need to continue to tell the truth, because the truth needs to be told in its entirety. Brothers and sisters, we need to witness and we need to evangelize to those that are lost. We've got to acknowledge to them the cost of being lost. We've got to warn the lost. We've got to warn those that are unsaved, those that are unsafe. If you're unsaved today, and if you're lost today, you're unsafe. The reality of hell is real, and the need to prepare to escape hell is real. And that truth needs to be told. And I pray tonight that as I try to share what God's got on my heart, I want you to know that I know that hell is not something people want to hear about. We don't want to talk about hell. We don't want to talk about that as being a destination. We don't want to hear about that being a wide, broad path that many go in. We'd rather hear about the good things. But listen, if you don't know what lies ahead for you, you're not going to have an urgency. You're not going to have a desire to seek to escape where Satan wants you to go and miss out on where God wants you to go, which is heaven. I want to share this with you tonight, and it's out of love for you, and I love your soul, and I want you to be saved, and I want you to experience and understand what the cost or what the consequence is of sin, what the consequence is, the cost of being lost. My scripture that I shared from Luke chapter 12, it's a sad parable of a lost man who lost everything. As I began to read to you, you might have said, man, this guy's got it made. Because as I began to read to you, it was telling us about this prosperity of this man. He was rich, but he ends a life in regret. And listen tonight, I want you to see why that this rich man, I want you to see why he lost it all. And I want everyone to know that no one has to have their life end as this man's life ended. Not when Jesus gave his life so that you could live. Not only in this life and have the abundant life here, but that you could live eternally in that place that he has prepared. Verse 16 tells us that this man's happiness, it tells us where it was. And his happiness was limited to the earth. As I read to you, it said, the ground of a rich man brought forth plentifully. Everything seemed to be going so well for him. Success in farming, it made him happy. And now those of you who have farmed or those of you that do gardening, you can attest to the joy of a bountiful harvest. It's hard work, but there's nothing like reaping the fruits of your labor after it's all done. And I also believe, though, you could ask any farmer that you wanted to. And, you know, I'll just admit it, I'm blessed. I'm not a farmer. I don't garden, not one single thing. But you know what? It just keeps showing up. I got home tonight, and I looked out on the front porch, and I said, what's that bag sitting out there? And it was stuff from the garden. Now, that's easy gardening for me. But I know there's more to it. I know there's more to it. I know that you got the cost of the seed, and I know you got the cost of the equipment that you do to get the seeds in the ground, and I know there's fertilizers, and I know there's labor of getting the weeds out of there and doing all those things. And listen, I appreciate that labor of love for the stuff that keeps showing up on the antenna of my car and on the front porch and those kind of things. I got a running thing with Brother Jimmy. He's been giving us some tomatoes, and you know what? I haven't tasted one of those tomatoes yet. They just keep disappearing, and I think I know where they're going, and I've told how good they are, but I'm not seeing any of that. But listen tonight, this man who was rich, and he planted his crops, you know, we have to understand that things could have changed drastically for him. A drought could have come through, and if a drought had come through, it would have devastated this man and all that he had planted. Or there could have been too much rain came, and if there was too much rain that came, it would have ruined him as well. This man, and really all who are lost, there's no inner peace. You know, that's the thing about being a child of God. When that burden of conviction is upon our heart, and when we seek the Lord, wherever it is that we make our altar, this altar up here, it's open. If God is dealing with your heart and you're saying, man, I wish he'd get to the end to get to an altar call so I could go to the altar, don't wait. Get up and come to the altar. I'll either quit preaching or I'll preach a little bit longer, but I'll catch up with you. I'm not the one you need to talk to. You need to talk to the Lord. You need to talk to Jesus about your soul. There is no inner peace until that burden of sin is removed by the grace of God and your faith and trust in the person and the work of Jesus, when that's removed, there's the peace and there's the joy. People want to know, Pastor, how will I know when I'm saved? That's how you'll know. The trouble and the turmoil that is within, knowing the consequences of the cost of being lost, it's removed when the joy and the peace of God comes into your heart and you have the promise and you have the assurance and you have the surety of going to heaven and spending eternity with God. I'll tell you, there's nothing like that. Those who are saved draw strength from the promise of God. Paul, in his writings to the Romans, he said in the 8th chapter, he said, "For I am persuaded." You know that word persuaded, it means that he was convinced. It means that he was encouraged. And he said, "I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus the Lord." This was wrote, brothers and sisters, to a church, to a people who were experiencing great persecution. They were told of the presence and they were told about the love of God and how that it would never leave them and how that it would reach them and how it would heal them, whatever hardship comes their way. Sister Dawn sang a song this morning about that. What was the title of that song? "My Redeemer is Faithful and True." You see, when we've got the love of the Lord in our heart, and I mean when we've been saved, our Redeemer is faithful and true. It doesn't mean we're not going to have conflict in life. It doesn't mean we're not going to face with hardship or opposition. But what it does mean is that we won't face it alone. God will either provide a way around it, through it, whatever way He provides, He'll be right there with us all the way through it. And He is faithful and true. And you can trust in the Lord. And I have experienced the need of the Lord, and He has been faithful and true many, many times in my life. And perhaps some of you have too. If lost and unsaved tonight, I hope you're paying attention, because I want you to see the difference between the cost of being lost, those that are unsaved, those that are unsafe, and the reward that is there for those who are safe, for those who are saved in the Lord Jesus Christ. This rich man, or rich fool, his holdings, his possessions, everything that he had, it was limited to the earth. That's where it all was. And verse 17 and 18 of my reading here, as he was pondering the blessings that were upon him, he began to think, and he says, "Well, I don't have enough room for all the stuff." And he says, "What shall I do?" And of course, this bountiful harvest, this prosperity that had come into his life, it produced problems for him. He didn't know what to do with the success that he had. And this increased wealth, it complicated his life. Notice what the word said. And he thought to himself, saying, "What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits." And he said, "This will I do. I'll pull down these barns." He said, "I'll build bigger, or I'll build greater, and I'll be able to put all my goods, all my fruits, I'll be able to put all those things there." I don't read anything in there, Brother Jimmy, where he had the heart that you have, where he shared that bounty with others. He didn't do that. This rich fool that we're reading about tonight, he suffered from eye trouble. Not visual eye troubles, but he suffered from the pronoun referring to himself. Because as I read there, I hope you notice, he kept saying what he would do. "I will do this, and I'll pull down this, and I'll do this, and then build these greater barns. And you know, these new things would be able to house all these things he had." And of course, everybody in the neighborhood, as they drove by, they'd be looking at him and saying, "Wow, look at him. Look at his prosperity. Look how good he's doing. Look how big those new barns are that he's building." But with everything that this man had, everything that he had, I want you to understand something. It was all perishable. It wasn't going to last. The harvest from his fields, it was good, but eventually it wasn't going to last. The barns that he built, they weren't going to last. They were all going to rot. They were all going to perish. Listen, these earthly bodies we have, they're the same way. These bodies that we have in this life, they're not going to last. I'm finding that out as I get older and get older, and I can't move as quick as I used to be, and I'm not as strong as I used to be. And, you know, Dawn will hand over a jar and say, "Open this for me." And I'll be doing everything I can to get that open. And then I'll say, "You know what? Where's that can opener that Bill built for us? It's a real complicated piece of work that he did. It's a block of wood that he cut in a V, and he put a hacksaw blade in there. And you just stick the jar in there and turn, and it pops wide open. I don't know why she don't do that first. Why she puts me through all that. It reminds me, this body of mine ain't going to last. I'm dying. I don't have a disease or anything that I know of, but every day that I'm living, I'm dying. I'm getting closer and closer to eternity every single day, and so are you if you're here tonight. The Bible's clear that we all have an appointment with death that we are going to keep. The Bible says it's appointed a man wants to die, and then after this, the judgment. But the hope and the promise of God's Word is that Jesus, if we put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, it prevents perishing. You know, I'm saved, and I know that I am, and I know that one day I'm going to lay this earthly body down, but my soul is going to be in that place that God has prepared. I'm going to get a new body, and I'm not going to have to worry about any of those things that I worry about now. And John, it tells us in the 3rd chapter, in the 15th verse, that whosoever believeth in him, who? Jesus, shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. This is the promise. Listen tonight, unsaved friend. This is the hope beyond this life, beyond this earth. One day we're going to perish. And the lost, the unsaved, they don't have the assurance that the saved have. They have a different promise from the Lord. They have a different promise from the Lord. One of righteous, eternal judgment, separated and apart from God. You see, this rich man's hopes were limited to the earthly horizon. He was making preparation for his ease. He was making preparation for his retirement in this life. And he looked to that future with confidence. But notice verse 19. And he said, "I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be married. Merry." You know what? Many people of this life, that's their attitude. People of this life today, all they're concerned about is the stuff that they have now and how much more stuff that they can accumulate in this life. And this man was no different. He put his trust in the riches of this life, in his carnal security, and he was ready to seek the pleasures that this life had to offer. I'm going to tell you tonight, his plan for the future was faulty. He was too nearsighted. He didn't have a far vision. He planned to be at ease and eat and drink and enjoy the things of this life. And like I said, I know a lot of people that are acting just like this rich fool that we're reading about here tonight. And like this man, they have neglected their plan for eternity. They have neglected for what comes after this life, what comes after death. And I wonder tonight, have you thought about that? Listen tonight, I want you to think about, where does your hope rest? I want you to think about, where will you spend eternity? I want you to be honest with yourself tonight and answer the question, are you lost or are you unsaved? I want you to be honest with yourself. Or have you found the Lord Jesus Christ precious to your soul? And are you safe and secure in Him tonight? My text verse that Jesus said, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Where was this man's treasure in my reading tonight? I have referred to this man a couple of times already as being a rich fool. I'm not being mean-spirited about this. I'm just telling you what Jesus called him. That's what Jesus called him. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night. Remember, built bigger barns. He's going to take his rest. He's going to be married. He's just going to live out his life in retirement and enjoy it all. And God says, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. If you're unsaved, if you're lost tonight, you need to get this. You need to understand what this is saying. That night, this man faced death, the grave, and hell for all of eternity. And he would leave behind all of his riches, all of his bountiful harvest, all of his buildings, all of his lands. Everything would be left behind. I guess what I'm trying to say, our best plans for life may not be God's will for our life. We might have great plans of what tomorrow is going to bring and what we're going to accomplish and what we're going to do, but the Word of God tells us that there is no assurance. There's not a one of us that has the assurance of tomorrow. Today has been a glorious day, and I'm rejoicing in what the Lord has done. But it's kind of a sad day for me all the same. Today would have been my oldest son's 39th birthday today. The only thing is 23 years ago he left this life. And that saddens my heart. And I think about, you know, what would he be today and what would he be doing today? But I want you to know something. The only reason I'm sharing that, I'm not looking for sympathy tonight. But if you're unsaved tonight, what I'm trying to tell you is it don't matter what age you are, however young or however old you are, none of us really know how much time we have. Joshua was 16 years old when he left this life. But here's what I want you to get. Here is the peace and the comfort that I have. He left this world with a testimony of salvation. He left this world with a profession of faith. He was saved. And brothers and sisters, I have great encouragement and hope in knowing that because he was saved, and because I know that I'm saved, and because of the promise of God's word, I'm going to see him again. But you see, those who aren't saved, the cost of being lost is eternal separation. Kaya, I thought about her when she came and told about being saved this morning. I was so happy for you. I mean, you know what I thought too? She's going to see her daddy again. Her daddy's in heaven. And now she's going to get to see him again one day. That's something for her to find joy in. Sure, she misses him, just like I miss my son. But we've got hope and we've got joy that there's going to be a glad reunion day one day after a while. So I hope that if you're here tonight and you're unsaved, you're lost, I want you to consider the cost of being lost. Don't sit there tonight and think, you know what? I got time. There'll be another time. Well, pick up the Chronicle from last week and read the Chronicle. Read about the young girl, I believe it was, 17 years old, that I believe it was another driver that hit her and her sister head on. She died, or her sister had injuries. She wasn't thinking about that day. I don't know the condition of her soul. I hope that she was prepared to meet the Lord. But the urgency is for you to think about your condition. Think about where you stand with the Lord. There are many people in this life just like this rich fool. They invest their life in temporal things, when instead they should come to Jesus with a repentant heart of faith and gain eternal life and gain eternal treasures. You know, we're supposed to be piling up riches in heaven and not supposed to be worried about what we've got here. God's good to us. He blesses us with what we need. And if you're like me, he goes beyond that and sometimes gives us some of the things that we want. That's how good God is. That's how loving God is when we serve him. And Jesus challenges us to think beyond these earthbound goals and to use what we have that God blesses us with for his kingdom. And brothers and sisters, I'll tell you tonight, if God has been good to you and God has blessed you, it's not about what we accumulate is here, but how can we use what God's blessed us with to reach out to a world that needs Jesus, spread and share this glorious gospel, and use what God's given us to accomplish that? And if you're doing that, God bless you, because that's what it takes, and that's what our goal and commission is. Riches, real riches, they're not laid up here. They're laid up in heaven by those who trust the Lord and who have become safe and secure in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6. He said, "Lay not up for yourself treasures on the earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." How do you measure your riches? How do you measure your wealth? I don't want you to misunderstand me tonight. There's nothing wrong with preparing for life. There's nothing wrong with getting a good education. There's nothing wrong with getting a good job. There's nothing wrong with, as you're going through life, ultimately preparing for an earthly retirement here in this life. But it's a tragedy not to prepare for eternal retirement, not to prepare for when we'll spend that time with God. There is a great cost. There is a great penalty. There is great suffering for being lost. And the greatest cost is eternal separation from God. Separation from the promises. Separation from the blessings of heaven that we have assurance of in His Word. The result, and I want you to listen to this, the result of never trusting in Jesus as your Savior is an irrevocable sentence to hell. And if you don't know what that word means, it means you can't change it. If you leave this life unprepared, there's no do-over. There's not a second opportunity. People can light candles all they want to. It ain't going to help. They can pray as many prayers. It's not going to help. You've got to make your preparation before this life comes to an end. Are you unsaved tonight? Are you unsafe tonight? Are you lost tonight? Unlike those who, I said earlier, you know, when we hear the word lost, we think that they don't know, you know, how to get to where they want to go. I want you to know tonight, if God's Spirit is working with your heart, you know where you're at with Him. That's what the Spirit does. You also know where to go or what to do because you've heard the preaching of God's Word. And my prayer tonight is that you will understand that you can have a new life. It requires repentance. It requires mercy. It requires the grace of God. That's the way. And the Lord is dealing with your heart tonight. I'm rejoicing in what happened this morning, but this is another service. This is another time. What this really is another opportunity that God is giving for you to seek Him and be saved before it's everlasting too late. If you're being drawn by the Holy Spirit, you feel that burden in your heart, you feel that troubling, Brother Allen, while we have a song, this is a good time to come. This is a good time to find the Lord. Will you step out on faith? Will you come and will you call upon the Lord Jesus Christ? Listen, you can be blessed with the greatest riches of this life, which is a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that'll give you the assurance of God that if you pass from this life, you've got the promise of God that you're going to be with Him. If the Lord comes back, the Bible's clear that the Lord is coming back. And when He comes back, that'll be it. That'll be the end. The world we know it today won't exist. Now, I don't know when that is. I believe it to be the truth, but I don't know when it is. And again, that expresses the urgency to understand the cost of being lost. Because what if it's tonight? What if it's tomorrow? What if it's 10 years from now? Whenever it's going to be, the most important thing is going to be, is Jesus your Savior? Have you surrendered to Him? Let's stand together. Let's have a song. I don't know your hearts, but if God is speaking to your heart, we'll give this invitation. Will you come? Will you bow? Will you call upon the Lord? Salvation is a personal experience between you and the Lord. Will you come? 156. Is there one tonight that needs to be saved? Is the Lord speaking to your heart? Oh, the song says, don't put it off too long. Will you come?